pads, Adam. Oh, there we go. Well, I didn't know they was that player.
They used to. Okay.
Christ is born, give him glory.
Christ has come down from heaven, receive him. Christ is now on earth, exalt him.
O you earth, sing to the Lord.
O you nations, praise him in joy, for he has been glorified.
Please stand.
Just did say, whoa.
Before we begin our communion liturgy, which is found on page 12 in our hymnal, I should like simply to mention that we had advertised that today would be the John Wesley Covenant service. Unfortunately, as most of you by now know, our dear secretary, Wanda Robinson, had to have surgery last week, and for gallbladder, and she has been doing very well, but I understand today that she was taken back to the hospital. Is that correct? So we don't know any more than that, so let's be sure and keep Wanda in our prayers. We certainly want to thank Martha Gullett for constructing the bulletin and getting it what we usually have, but the covenant service was very long and very involved, and to be honest with you, I did not want to hit Martha with that long thing, so it'll still be around. It's been around since the 18th century, so we'll pick it up next year. But it is a wonderful service to have at the very beginning of the year. So this is why we have our usual liturgy instead of that which was advertised as the Watch Night service. Hear now the invitation to the Lord's table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law and have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. At this time, I invite the boys and girls to come forward. I have something I would like to talk with you about at this time. Would you come? Seat. Today, I hope to talk with you about time. Have you ever heard anyone say, it's time to get up? Have you ever heard, it's time to get up? Well, what about another one? Have you ever heard anybody tell you, it's time to go to bed? Anybody ever told you, it's time to go to bed? Do you have something like this on your wrist?
I have one.
It's just not with me. It's not with you? She's got one. Do you have a watch? Not yet, but you know what one looks like, don't you?
I have
not. Oh, good, good. Well, you see, this thing right here tells us what time it is. I have this little device up yonder on the pulpit, so I can punch it, and there's the time right there. It says 11:15, and I know when it's 12:30 if I punch it and I'm still preaching, I've preached too long. I've taken too much time, right? Say amen.
Amen.
See, they know if I've taken too much time. Time is something all of us know about. But I have another question for you. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, there's that word, you are doing something and you lose track of time? Do you have anything that looks like this?
I used to have an iPod.
She said she used to have an iPod, but she lost it.
I have an iPad.
Now she's got an iPad, yes. So that's bigger than this, right? Do you ever get busy with it and you lose the track of time? So she's lost the time that's like this. Do you have one of these things? Do you know somebody that does? Oh, you know how to work it, though, don't you? Yes, good job. All right. I gave it to my 7-year-old grandson, and he had an iPod, and then he showed me how to do it, and then I couldn't do it fast enough. He said, "Let me do it." So this is your instrument, isn't it? But you know what? You can lose track of time in one of these, so that there is a time that you're having that we might say you're having a good time with this, but this kind of time goes away and you forget what time it is, and somebody has to say, "All right, put it up, it's time to do this." You hadn't heard that, have you? I thought so. Has anybody ever told you it's time to go? I bet they will. So we've got more than one kind of time. Now, the important thing to remember, and here's my point, this time marches on. It's now 11:17, and that's roughly what my watch says. This time just keeps on going. But what God wants us to do is fill the time with good times for Him, for helping other people, for making a phone call and say, "I love you. Could you tell your people back there that you love them?" That would be good, wouldn't it? Do they tell you they love you? I bet they do. And you need to tell your folks you love them too. That kind of time is not counted here, because that kind of time comes from heaven. That is heaven on earth, love. So let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for time, and thank you for helping us find ways to measure time. But let us also know that when there is love involved, love of other people, we cannot measure that kind of time, because that kind of time is eternal life. That is heaven on earth. Bless us all during this new year, that we make plenty of time to love each other. Amen. And thank you for coming up. You can go back there now. Terry mentioned to me just now that she had failed to mention that we're to collect our poinsettias and to take them home with us. This was the second and last Sunday of Christmas. So next week, the Christmas decorations will be down, which means we've got a lot of poinsettias that you and we have taken care of. Let's take them on home, okay? Now, you have a number of cares and concerns and issues about which we need to be praying. Certainly, let's keep Wanda in our prayers. Other members of our church family and extended family, you see them mentioned in the bulletin. Let's remember them as well. We're starting a new year. Let's remember all the issues of the world. And let's find ways to do our part to make things better. So let us bow in prayer together. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, you have seen us through another year. 2014 is past. And to be honest with you, oh God, we've got rather tired of it. Issues happen, some good, some not so good. But yet it wore on, as all years do, in the latter part of December. And we wanted a fresh breath of life. And there we were on the first day of January. We have another year in front of us. 2015. We confess, O Lord, that you have done your part to make 2014 a good year. But we confess that at times we haven't followed your lead. At times we've wanted our way. We have wanted things to turn in the direction we select instead of waiting and listening and allowing you to show us the way. So the calendar and time itself has given us another start in life, another new beginning. We beseech you, O Lord, on the first Sunday of this year to grant us grace for the living of this year and the days in front of us. Let us make the very most of everything to witness to your realm and to your beneficence, to your glory, to your watch care, and yes, to your comfort and compassion when things go badly. We ask your blessings upon this church, for folks who are here, for the folks who couldn't come today. We ask your blessings upon this town and this entire area. Many people go to church and have a church and are fed in that church, but Lord, there are so many around about us that don't know Jesus. They don't know the love that we find in this and other congregations. They are alone. Some of them have gotten very bitter toward life. Others simply have no hope. So we beseech you, O Lord, grant us the effort and the time to witness to those that they can indeed be awakened by your Holy Spirit and join this or other fellowships of Christ wherever they may be fed and their souls may be satisfied. For we know, in the words of a great church father, that you have indeed created us for yourself, and that our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Thank you for your evidence of presence. Thank you for your watch care. And thank you for the joy of our salvation. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Oh. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, compass, and king to mourn him, the King of kings, salvation brings, and loving hearts enthroned him.
From the 13th chapter of Romans, hear these verses from chapter number 13, as I mentioned, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now, the moment, for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the faith, for the flesh, to gratify its desires. Amen. Just as the year passed, we started a new one Thursday. Just as Christmas is over, we have the church year marching right along as well. We moved from Advent into Christmastide, midnight Christmas Eve. And then we have the 12 days of Christmas. This, I think, is about the 10th day. And that's right, that song, the 12 days of Christmas, it's packed with all kinds of symbolism. For it was written in ancient England, and it's basically against the Catholic religion. You wouldn't know it from the way we sing it. It's lost a lot of its depth of meaning. Sometime I'll share its meaning with you. And then on Tuesday is Twelfth Night. Tuesday is the traditional time when the wise men came to worship Jesus. And then after that is over, we'll be in the church season known as Epiphany. The pyramids will turn from white to green. Epiphany means manifestation, manifestation of the light of Jesus. We'll stay in Epiphany until Ash Wednesday, which will be in February. So this is the time for the church year, the time for the calendar year we know all so well, don't we? So my sermon is entitled, Time. Once again, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a grand hymn of the faith, and I had to go to 3 different hymnals to find it. But it was one that I cut my teeth on. How many of you have ever heard, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there"? Let me see some hands. That's what I thought. You know it by heart, don't you? Almost. I went fishing and I almost caught me one. Some interesting verses in it that are not in our hymnal, not in the previous hymnal, but it's a powerful, powerful hymn. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time will be no more. Then the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other side, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And the thing I want to pick out, first of all, is that very first phrase, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time will be no more." Time, time. It either governs us or we attempt to govern it. We have our time planners, our day planners, our week planners, our annual planners. We have our goals we'd like to set up for us to accomplish today, this week, and so on. The federal government gives us time. April the 15th is a magic day, isn't it? And those of us who receive W-2s and whatever else we get from our employers, they have a certain time to get them in our hands, you see. All of us know about time. We talk about it, it's like the weather. We never seem to have enough of it, or time drags. Hurry up. What are you doing with yourself? We don't have enough time for that. Time, time, time. We put our eyes out watching our athletic contests over the past week, and guess what? We still have some more ball games today. Isn't that wonderful? I could fill myself with basketball as well as with football. But you know what? Time governs them too. I was watching a certain bowl game. I don't even know who was playing. It wasn't a bowl game either. It was a playoffs game. Yes, we're in the playoffs. And it was Carolina. And they were playing Arizona. And Carolina was ahead. And they did not want them to have the ball. They did not want the Cardinals to have the ball. There was 11 seconds on the clock. And it was fourth down, and Carolina was backed up way back to their own goal line. So you know what happened? You've got to burn 11 seconds, or they get the ball anyway. Real close to the goal line. So the punter took the ball. Did he kick it? Nope, didn't want to risk it being blocked. Didn't want to run back. So what he did was run around the end zone a while. And he milked the clock for all but 2 seconds. And then he stepped out of bounds because usually kickers don't like to be hit, and he didn't want to be hit. Time governed the selection of the football play. He knew he was going to do that, and he knew he'd rather take a safety, which means 2 points, rather than a touchdown, which means 6 points. They were ahead by 8. So they'd rather win by 6 than anything closer. So I thought to myself, well, once again, time governs the activity. But now let's look at time. How much time do you have to consider time? When I hear people say, and when I hear myself say, you know, I don't have time for that, I think to myself, you've got as much time, Bill, as anybody else does. Because we're given 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, etc. That's what we're given. The issue is, do we make time in our schedule for whatever else? When we look in the Bible, when we read such a passage as what St. Paul said, you know what time it is, how it is now, the moment for you to wake from sleep. What's he talking about? They didn't have watches back in that day. They told the time by the rise of the sun. And then came sundials, etc., etc. But what does he mean by it's time to wake up? Two kinds of time in the Bible we find. One is chronos time, Greek, for which we get chronology, which is clock time. And then there's another kind of time known as kairos time. This is the fullness of time. This is how we get lost in a ball game and don't even look at the clock. This is how we get lost in relationship with each other and don't even look at the clock. The clock time marches on, but the fullness of time, it has no beginning or end. It takes us into the moment and it keeps us there. Mind you, it can be bad time as well as good time. Time is what we make of it. Paul writes, you know what time it is, how it now is the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. You and I waked up this morning. Did you know that when we awakened, we are one day closer to the time of our death? You ever think of it that way? Do you ever think of the fact that when we awaken to a new day, that is a gift? One more day that we're given before our time of departure. And then the next question is, it's a logical question. Are you ready to move from this realm to the next realm? You know, Jesus says to be ready. But am I ready? No. I've got a few more books I'd like to read. Thank you very much. I've got some financial things I want to get in order and some things to do around the house before I go. But there's no guarantee of that. Do you see what I'm saying? We make our plans, we plan our work and work our plans, and each day we're given is one day closer to the time that we will depart. Are you ready? Some of us will pass away, in all likelihood, this year. Are we ready? Are we ready? We are to put aside the works of darkness. This is St. Paul's message to us now. Put aside the works of darkness. Now, this can be most anything. Think of the habits we have that we really don't need to have. I have some eating habits I don't need to keep going. Does anybody have an eating habit besides me? What are we going to do about it? Eating habits can lengthen our lives or it can shorten our lives. Did you realize that? And for decades, I've been digging my grave with my teeth. Does anybody like me? We know what we're talking about, don't we? Or think of the time we have wasted. How do you waste time? I just sit there. Sometimes I'm thinking, other times I'm moping. Does anybody have a tendency to get depressed over frustrations they can't help? I do. We're wasting time. Do we not realize that when we are depressed, that questions our faith in God? Do we not trust God to take care of everything that would put us down? Or what about a missed opportunity? Have you ever had an opportunity to do something good for someone and didn't do it, and then something happened and you could not do it? I first became aware of that when I was just a boy. Couldn't have been over 12. Our next-door neighbor, my daddy and myself, we were walking down the sidewalk, and I was invited to cut the grass of my neighbor's yard. He had some years on him, and I was just a boy, and I could push a lawnmower, those motorized things we all have now. You had to push this one, you know. Anybody remember how to do that? Thought so. So I said, yes, I'll be glad to. Then he flips in the air a quarter. Now, back in the early 50s, a quarter was a nice piece of money. So I looked at myself, oh, that's good. I get paid beforehand? Yeah, we're going to count on your doing that. So I got advance pay. My dad says, you probably ought to write him a thank you note. That was nice of him to hire you and to give you advance pay. And I said, well, I guess I ought to. But then I procrastinated, and the gentleman died the next night. And it dawned on me as a lad, you know, I can't write him that note now, because I didn't seize the moment, make time for that to happen, and I lost the opportunity. What are you and I missing out on because we don't carpe diem, seize the day, seize the moment? What are we procrastinating about? What are we stewing about? What are we showing how little faith in God we have by moping, by being depressed? What is it? That is something we need to confess as a sin and to deal with it. Late yesterday afternoon, perhaps early evening, I got a message through my Facebook account from a dear friend of Virginia's and mine. Bryn was her name. She said, Bill, I need prayers. My dad doesn't have too many more days to live. And they put him in hospice. And I was thinking of you, and please ask for your prayers. Of course, I typed her back, and it says, of course I will. Please keep me informed. She reminded me that my uncle married her dad and her mom 66 years ago in December. That's how tight the relationship was and is between the Fowlers and Bryn and the Harrison family. Then I thought about when I first met Bryn. She was not a member of Church Street at that time, but some of her friends said, Bill, Bryn has lost her husband. He died suddenly. He wasn't but 31. And she's got their infant, and she needs some pastoral help. I went to see Bryn. I could hardly believe that this vibrant young person in her late 20s with the baby in her arms was now a widow. And so for months and for years, Bryn and I talked. We prayed. We had breakfast every Wednesday at Shoney's off Chapman Highway. She went through every kind of imaginable issue that she would bring up. And then, when she was in her late 30s, she introduced me to a man by the name of Michel Voix, who was an airline pilot for Air France. I had the privilege of marrying Bryn and Michel. They had an infant. I baptized both hers, her earlier infant, by Pat Jones, her husband then, the one that died suddenly, as well as the new infant. And all during this time, marrying her, burying her first husband, mind you, and then talking with her, and then marrying her, and then baptizing both her children. Over these years, there was a deep relationship of trust, and she used me as a signpost to point to Jesus, who was the Savior. Now, once again, she says, I need prayer. What happened over those years, actually those decades, was the good Lord let me put on the armor of light, giving her a steadying hand and letting her, from the light from the Lord, focus on where the Lord wants her to walk in order to walk through the valley of the shadow of death without camping out there. Do you follow me? Over these years, she also gained coping tools to remind her that in God's way of calculating time, death and entry into eternal life was painful, but so is birth and entry into this life. So that whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord's. There is pain to be born in this life. There is pain to die and be born into eternal life. Pain both ends of the spectrum, but new birth for both levels of reality. Because you see, in our conversations, we talked about birth and death being transitions in God's highway of salvation. So she will do well. She simply wanted a prayer. And I'll see her at some point, and we'll talk. But then let us lay aside, let you and me lay aside the works of darkness, whatever holds us back from being what God wants us to be as individuals here, as your pastor and wife, whatever holds you back from being the best church members across the board that you can indeed be and become. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of you who help each other, you don't ask how much time am I going to have to spend to take you to the hospital. You don't ask that question because love is not bound by time. I didn't say, Bryn, how much of your time are you going to take up in these 15, 20 years that we've known each other? You don't ask that question because we're not bound by this kind of time. We are bound by how much and how kindly we may share the love and support by putting on the armor of light and letting God's light, the light of Christ, shine into those dark places where sin has developed, where we have allowed things to eat us up instead of proclaiming Jesus is Lord, not my depression. Jesus is Lord, not the diet that I eat. Now think about this. Do you ever have cravings for food? You can't help it. You just crave it. Are you like me? Do you graze throughout the kitchen 24/7 almost? Are you like me? As soon as you get in, you open the refrigerator door, even though you're not hungry. Who is Lord here? We ask Bill. Who is Lord here if you're guilty of that one? You see, all of us, excuse the pun, are eaten up with things of the flesh. We're eaten up with things that betray who our God really is. This is a new year, and I want us to work hard on being the best church possible. This is a new year, and as I look out in front of me, I see virtually the same number of people that I saw when I first came. How many times have you asked someone to come to worship? Do you talk about your church in positive ways where you are? Or do you just kind of take it for granted? The question is, do we want to grow? Do we want to share the faith with other people who don't even have a church? Where are those members that used to come all the time? Have you asked them to come back? And I know some of you are thinking, well, Bill, that's what we've got you for. You are to do that kind of work. We are simply to come and be fed and sit back and say, oh, Bill, you did pretty good today, or Bill, that was wonderful. Well, we've all got crossed up then on what I understand and what you need to be understanding as to what church is all about. The church is not the preacher. The church is the people. And if this church wishes to grow, the people need to become active other than just showing up 1 hour out of 168 in the week. I want to encourage all of us to talk positively about the church. I'm sent here as your ordained pastor, the shepherd of the flock. You are the ones that have the wool. You are the ones that are the mutton. You are the sheep. I'm only the pastor. I can't do your work, but you can't do mine. Do you follow me? Once again today, I consecrated the elements at Asbury. Why? Because he's only a student. He isn't ordained, Sam. He's a good man. He will be ordained. But the bishop and the superintendent said, Bill, he has got to have you or another elder to consecrate the elements. This is what we're up against, folks. We can make all kinds of excuses, or we can put the issue off to the pastor and says, you need to make the church grow. But I can tell you, people come to church because of the people, not the pastor. Because if people come for the pastor when I leave, whoosh, the main allegiance is gone. But on the other hand, if people have come because you've invited them, it doesn't matter who is standing up here, they will continue to come because the inner network of love, of caring, still is here. Now, friends, let's get serious. The time is now. We've just turned another year. I've been with you for 6 months. I have gotten to know many of you, been visiting some of you. But I've tried to pastor all of you the best to know how. It's time for you to get busy. It's time for you to start asking people to church. It's time for you to work at the growth of this congregation. And when you find people that need to have a pastor or see a pastor, it's time for you to get me on the phone and say, Bill, run out and see these folks. They have some questions. They may want to join. You see what I'm saying? Far too often, church members, and we pastors have done it too, we have assumed that you come here for entertainment. Hence, so many worship services have turned into a jam session. And I've told you before, and I will never forget, what little Jennifer, who sat right there a few months ago, she said to me at Church Street, she said, Bill, are we going to have that new music? Like everybody's having a good time at Church Street? I says, Jennifer, I don't know how to do that. And Church Street deserves the best. And as long as I'm here, and I don't know how to do it. No, we're going to have the traditional worship. She said, well, good, because I didn't want to be reminded on Sunday morning where I was Saturday night. Now, folks, I'm all for modernity. I'm all for whatever it takes. But at the same time, far too many people substitute the worship of Almighty God for entertainment. And that is a sacrilege. Here at Rockwood, I want us to be reminded of what we're here for. We're here to worship. Worship has a certain liturgy. You see it in the bulletin. Liturgy comes from the old English word liturgia, and it means the work of the people. Sometimes lay people tell me, you know, Bill, I like that new preacher we've got, but I just don't get anything out of it, so I just don't think I'm going to come. I don't like his sermons. My answer immediately is, you know what? You don't know where he was Saturday night. You don't know whether his sermon is really not very good because he's not very good because he was with somebody Saturday night. But it's not about you, it's about God. So why don't you, instead of griping about the preacher and the sermon, why don't you sit back there and pray for him? Pray that somebody will get something from his sermon, even though you're getting nothing. Your work is to pray. Now we're going to come to the time in the service when we will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I know it's 3 minutes until noon, and I don't apologize for going into overtime, because I happen to know there are certain bowl games that went into overtime, and you did not get up and turn it off, did you? And you won't today if you see a bunch of bowl games or playoff games. So I think what I need to remind us is that this is God's word for us at this time. Time governs so much of us. Time is now for us to do heavy reflecting. We're going to have a liturgy which talks about what that sacrament is all about. And I want you to come and to kneel and stay as long as you wish. We and the other people administering the communion will notice when you leave, and then when they leave, someone else takes their place. But I want you to lay on that altar rail, which is symbolic of that altar rail. Can't get enough around it, of course. Lay on that rail your burdens. I want you to bring them to God. All of your excuses for why you're not God's people and you're in an entertainment mode, let's see what Bill can do to entertain me today. Lay that right there. Also, I want you to bring your tithes and offerings. God knows how serious we are by what we give back to God in money, in time, and talents. So, if you have issues that you want a lot of prayer for, come. But if you leave him 50 cents, he's going to show you. You're going to show him just how really lack of seriousness you're presenting. Now, you know, I pay monthly. We pay whenever. She writes and I pay monthly. Now, that's fine, but bring something when you come to the Lord's table to show God that you're not just getting from God the means of grace, but you're giving back to God something God can use from you and from me. Would you do that? We'll have the regular offering when we do not have the sacrament. Now, if you'll turn back in your hymnals to page 13, we'll continue with the liturgy. We'll pick up now with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. With those assisting with the administration of the sacrament, would you come at this time?